I want to thank you for coming this morning, this afternoon. You can tell I'm a preacher and have a habit of being here Sunday morning. Anyway, glad that you're here. Some of you, maybe your heart is here, but your head is out in the field, wishing just going through harvest at this time, but we're glad that you're here, and it's much appreciated. So on behalf of Winston and his family, we thank you for coming today. This is this is a very important day. Linda was a friend of people all over the world. She just seemed to attract herself to people. She liked people. She shared her heart with people. She just was that kind of person, and even if the first time you met her, you weren't thinking of making it a friendship, the second time it was almost done, and that's just the way she was. She wasn't the tallest person here, but she made an impact, and we're going to miss her. And Winston, we wish you all the comfort and care that is possible that we can share with you, and we pray that God would grant you his comfort that I know is beyond anything we can give. So as we go through the service today, our desire is, and her desire was, that we would honor God, and we added we would honor her. She usually was not thinking about Linda. She's usually thinking about someone else. That was her. Even in the hospital, she was thinking about somebody else. So today, as we share these things, I trust that her life will be honored and that we'll also honor God. Would you bow with me, please, as I pray? Father in heaven, we bow before you at this time, mindful that loss hurts. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would be Winston's comfort and our comfort, that you would provide strength, just that which each one needs, as only you can do. And we commit this service to you and our memory of her, for which we give you thanks. For through her, you have enriched our lives. And we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together. I trust that you have a folder. And one of her favorite pictures was the one on the front. And she liked that old truck. She liked the driver of the old truck, too. She told him that many, many times. And one of her songs that has been picked for us is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. We'll just remain seated to sing, please.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. Thou hast been a hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood. O to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Ask Lane Unger to come, please, and read the scripture reading.
I will be reading from John 14, verses 1 to 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
There's a little book like this called Valley of Vision, and one of the writers, an old Puritan, wrote a comparison, Earth and Heaven, and Linda liked this book. She read it many, many times and went through the various things, and this could be considered a prayer or it can be considered a poem. Just listen as I read it, Earth and Heaven. O Lord, I live here as a fish in a vessel of water, only enough to keep me alive. But in heaven, I shall swim in the ocean. Here I have a little air in me to keep me breathing. But there, I shall have sweet and fresh gales. Here I have a beam of sun to lighten my darkness, a warm ray to keep me from freezing. Yonder, I shall live in light and warmth forever. My natural desires are corrupt and misguided, and it is thy mercy to destroy them. My spiritual longings are of thy planting, and thou wilt water and increase them. Quicken my hunger and thirst after the realm above. Here I can have the world, there I shall have thee in Christ. Here is a life of longing and prayer. There is assurance without suspicion, asking without refusal. Here are gross comforts, more burden than benefit. There is joy without sorrow, comfort without suffering, love without inconstancy, rest without weariness. Give me to know that heaven is all love, where the eye affects the heart, and the continual viewing of thy beauty keeps the soul in continually transports of delight. Give me to know that heaven is all peace, where error, pride, rebellion, passion raise no head. Give me to know that heaven is all joy, the end of believing, fasting, praying, mourning, humbling, watching, fearing, repining, and lead me to it soon. That was her prayer. It was answered last Saturday morning at 3:30 a.m. when she went home to be with the Lord. Linden Unger, please come and share the eulogy.
Marie Aline Dignor, who we knew as Linda, was born on December 20th, 1950, in Newcastle, New Brunswick, to Raymond and Anastasie Dignor. Her parents have both passed away, as has her older sister, May. She is survived by her younger sister, Jeanette, and her younger brother, Gerald. When she was a little girl, her grandfather started calling her Linda, and it stuck. Winston and Linda met in Newcastle, New Brunswick, on Linda's 19th birthday. Winston and Linda knew right away that things would work out well, and 3 months later they were married, March 28th, 1970, in Red Bank, New Brunswick, at the United Church. After their wedding, Winston looked at the marriage certificate, saw that he'd married Marie Aline, and commented he had married the wrong girl. He only knew her as Linda, like we did. She must have explained it well enough because they were married nearly 49 years. They lived in Sunny Corner, New Brunswick, and in 1970, Celeste was born in late 1970, and Colin followed in 1974. Linda occasionally traveled with Winston as he drove truck even shortly after they were married, and often even with their small children. In 1995, Linda decided to travel with Winston full-time. Linda accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior in late 1994. Jesus had been working in the lives around her for years. Winston had accepted Christ in 1987 after reading a gospel tract on salvation that he picked up in a truck stop in all places, but it was in Quebec, and it was the only English tract there. Colin accepted Lord in 1991, influenced by the witness of a manager at work. Celeste accepted the Lord in 92 through the witness of a good friend. Linda had been reading the Bible, and Celeste helped explain the gospel so that she understood more clearly. And Linda realized the Bible truths filled the emptiness that she felt. After she'd accepted Christ as her Savior, she told Winston that she'd made up her mind that she'd be traveling with him then on in the truck. For the next 18 years, they trucked long haul across North America on nearly every highway except into Mexico. Linda and Winston grew close together when they started trucking together. They grew closer. They worked together to sort out the gospel and to study the word as they traveled. And they stopped faithfully at evangelical churches as they traveled across the country. They prayed always about where to stop, and the Lord always faithfully provided a good church for them to fellowship at on Sunday mornings and sometimes Wednesday night church services as well. They developed a bit of a routine and attended fairly regularly at churches in Texas, Tennessee, Newfoundland, and elsewhere across Canada and the States. They loved attending these churches. They got to see a cross-section of how different churches worshiped. And this helped them to grow in their faith and spiritual maturity as well. They met many interesting people in these churches in the body of Christ and made some very good friends. Some of their grandchildren traveled with them occasionally in the summer as well, and Linda loved the opportunity to share time with them. Her family was very precious to her. In September of 2013, they felt it was the Lord's calling to make a change. They stopped to stop long-haul trucking and to move to Red Deer. Why Red Deer? I don't know, but we're glad you're here. Winston went to work for Andrew Scaife, hauling locally. In late November of 2013, Linda had a cardiac arrest when she was in an exam room of the Red Deer Emergency Unit. The doctors installed 3 stents, but her heart had dropped its function down to about 50%. Again, in April 2014, she had more cardiac arrest issues, and despite more work on her heart, it dropped to about 30% function. Linda had traveled occasionally with Winston after her first cardiac arrest, but after her second set of cardiac arrests, she started having other related medical issues, which really prevented her from being able to accompany him. This was difficult for both of them. Linda loved Winston, and Winston loved Linda. Their marriage, the way they communicated, the way they spoke respectfully and loving to each other, and the way they looked out for each other in everything, was a testament and example to many, including me and my wife, on how husbands and wives should love each other and treat each other. They prayed together about and discussed every decision they made, and Linda treated everyone with respect, care, and compassion. We got to know Linda and Winston through small group ministry here at Bethany. Our small group was made up of younger families with kids, and many kids. And I was certain that the noise and hubbub and kids everywhere would scare them away and be too much for them. But we didn't scare them away, they stayed. We grew to love them, our entire group did. I saw a post on Facebook a little bit ago that said there are friends, there's family, and there's family, or there's friends who become family. Winston and Linda quickly became our family. My family would often go out for lunch with them after church, and if we hadn't discussed who would pay the bill before it came, Linda would insist that it would be their treat. We quickly learned that we had to discuss who was paying before we agreed to go out, as Linda always wanted it to be her treat. I'm sure that happened with many of you as well. Linda would propose lunch out to Leah, and Leah would suggest it only if it was our treat. That usually didn't work. So Leah would tell Linda she had to discuss it with me, and she would. My negotiations with her weren't that successful either. Usually I was only able to get her to agree that it would be our treat next time. When her mind was made up, it was difficult to change. I don't know that she was stubborn, though, but she certainly was selfless. Linda was also always quick to share a smile, even when she wasn't feeling well. She loved her family, the church family, and her many friends, and will be missed by all of these. We grieve her passing, but also we rejoice. Because of her faith in Jesus, she's in heaven with him now. Linda is survived by her loving husband, Winston, their daughter, Celeste, and her husband, Richard, and their two children, Morgan and Caleb, and by their son, Colin, his wife, Tina, and their three children, Alexandria, Joshua, and Jonah. Linda will be interred in Red Bank, New Brunswick, in the United Church Cemetery, the same church where Linda and Winston were married. A funeral is scheduled there for next week.
That gives you a little insight into her person and life. One of the things that was part of her life was to sing in the choir. There were times when she would be talking to my wife and say, "Would you tell Pastor I probably won't be at choir tonight? I'm not doing very well." So when I got here, who was here? Linda. And she even drove herself. And I'm like, wow. Other people like me maybe could find an easier reason than her. And it didn't matter whether she heard or not, she came. And she loved the choir. And so it was asked if the choir would sing today. And I trust that we'll be thinking of her as the title of the song is "I've Been to Calvary," and as one that she would like.
We want to sing this song for Winston about Linda. I know she's going to sing in a better choir right now.
I have the privilege of reading two tributes. The first by Shafe Lyre, and the second by Leah Unger. I had the pleasure of first meeting Linda right after her four heart attacks. She and Winston came to church the Sunday after she was out of the hospital. I was so amazed by her smiles, and just the fact that she was there really spoke volumes to me about the kind of lady she was. I then met Linda and Winston months later when we started to attend Bethany. After a couple meals together, I knew the Nowlands were blessings that I wanted in the life of my family. Linda needed help around her home and getting to appointments and such, so I agreed to help her out a little. I am so glad I did. She quickly became an adopted mom to me and grandma to my kids. Linda chose to love us right from the start and made us all feel like we were so special to her. Linda told me over and over that her calling was to give to others. She gave so willing all the time. We truly felt spoiled by her. We never left her house without some small gift. The kids would ask, where did this or that come from? And I almost always would say, from Grandma Linda. She gave freely with a cheerful heart. Over the last while, her health has not been the greatest, and she would say with a smile, well, I don't feel great, but I will just keep going on. She talked about heaven and going, but she didn't want to leave her family and friends. She was a living example of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Linda loved to be out and about. She was not at home, not a homebody. So we would head out for lunch or shopping frequently. She loved it when she got her wheelchair and we could really bomb around. It was always an adventure. She was such a wonderful example to me on being a gospel messenger. Wherever we went, be it to the pharmacy, doctors, restaurants, grocery stores, she shared the gospel and invited people to church, Jesus alone, or Sean in her life. I asked my two older girls what Linda meant to them, and they both told me, she is the grandma that I always wanted. She cheered them on, made them feel so special. She took the time to get to know them. She never had a harsh word. Luca had a special bond with Linda. That is just so sweet. It was always an exciting day for Luca to go to see Mama Linda and her kittens. Linda kept her musical Christmas tree out all year so Luca could sing and dance to the music. Whenever we were over, she never treated Luca any different because of her special needs, but just loved her. I'm so grateful that we had the privilege of having Linda and Winston over for dinner on the Saturday of the Thanksgiving weekend. I know that she was not feeling her best, but they came, and we have the memory of one last meal together. There's going to be a void in our lives with Linda gone, and honestly, I am not ready for that. I am so happy, though, that her pain has ended. I know that she is in heaven, dancing a jig and praising Jesus. Linda can say the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. She closes with a poem by Cassie Mitchell entitled, You Meant So Much. You meant so much to all of us. You were special, and that's no lie. You brightened up the darkest day. and the cloudiest sky. Your smile alone warmed hearts. Your laugh was like music to hear. I would give absolutely anything to have you well and standing near. No one second passes when you are not on our minds. Your love we will never forget. The hurt will ease in time. Many tears I have seen and cried. They have all poured out like rain. I know that you are joyful now and no longer in any pain. My friendship with Linda enriched and blessed my life in many ways. Our friendship began when Winston and Linda began attending the same small group, but quickly deepened and we became like family. We loved to visit and were blessed to share many meals together. I was also honored to become one of the friends to drive Linda to her many doctor appointments and to help her run errands when she needed. Although physically diminutive in size, Linda's personality and character were huge. She always had a smile on her face, and once you became part of her adopted family, she loved to tease. Her devotion to the church, Winston, and to her family were evident to all who had the privilege to know her. She took a true interest in your life, whether young or old, and would always ask for a hug when she saw you. Linda was one of the sweetest and most loving people I have ever known. While reflecting on our friendship, it became evident to me that there were three characteristics that seemed to define Linda's life. The first was her faith in Jesus and her strong belief in the power of prayer. Linda spent time reading the scripture and praying every day. She spoke often of her faith, and her sentences were punctuated with exclamation of praise Jesus or if it's God's will. Her faith was an integral part of who she was and how she lived. During the time we spent together, Linda would often share that she and Winston were praying about something. She didn't usually go into details, but it was reinforced time after time that she and Winston would pray devotedly and often for prolonged period of time before making decisions about things. She prayed often for her family and was quick to offer to pray for situations in our lives as well. What I found truly unique and special about Linda's prayer life, though, was that she was just as quick to ask for others to pray for her. This leads directly to the second trait that Linda exemplified, courage and perseverance in the face of adversity. Although Linda's health was poor and she suffered with many ailments physically, never in our friendship did I hear her question why something was happening to her or complain about her circumstances. She simply just asked you to pray for an antibiotic to work, for peace as she underwent another test, for pain to diminish. She accepted the fact that her life was colored by pain and suffering, yet seized every moment to live fully with courage and with joy. In the few short years I knew her, Linda endured more medical procedures and tests than most people face in a lifetime. But the reality of her physical limitations did not cloud her desire or ability to live a life that honored her Savior, Jesus Christ. She was one of the strongest people I have ever known. The third characteristic that seemed to define Linda's life was her generosity. I'm quite certain that every person here has at least one story of how their life was blessed by Linda. She was generous to a fault and loved to shower those around her with blessings. Whether it was celebrating a graduation, a birthday, or a new baby, making what she knew was your favorite dessert for a church potluck, or if you're riding in the truck with Winston and makes you tapioca pudding and found out I liked it, then every time. Bless her heart, and it was good. Favorite dessert at a church potluck, treating you to a meal out, or loaning you a book or movie she thought you would enjoy. Linda lived her life trying to bless those around her. In one of our many conversations, Linda shared, that she and Winston tried to live their lives with open hands, to use what they had to bless others in the family of God. In many instances, their generosity astounded me, and it challenged me to change the way I looked at earthly possessions. Linda was always looking out for the interests and well-being of those around her. In many ways, I regret that my friendship with Linda was short when measured in earthly years. I will miss her dearly. The time she devoted to our friendship, her mischievous smile and her hugs. But I rejoice in the sweet promise of eternity. Linda knew and loved Jesus. She is dancing with the heavenly choir now. And I look forward to a sweet reunion with her someday. We're going to sing one more song before Pastor Peter comes and shares from the Word of God. You have it in at the back of your folder. It is Well With My Soul, and Linda knew that very well, and that was her testimony. It's Well With My Soul. We'll just remain seated to sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
We're going to sing verse 2 and verse 3 without the chorus, even though it says chorus there, all right? And if I make a mistake, go ahead and follow me. But hopefully, we'll just sing verse 2 and 3 without the chorus, and then the fourth verse with the chorus. Verse 2.
Let this blessed assurance adorn the Lord, praise the Lord.
For leading you astray twice. I'm just glad I made it through the song. Pastor Peter, come please.
Well, it's been in my experience with funerals that I always feel, especially afterwards, a little bit ripped off, a little bit jealous that, because at the funeral time, you get to hear about the person's legacy, and then you just wish you got to know them more or earlier, and I feel like I've been left out, in a sense, because of the amazing legacy that we have been hearing about this whole entire time. And I sit up here just completely humbled, and I'm just thankful we're all here to be able to support Winston, my brother. We've known each other for 5 years, in my opinion, not long enough. But I'm definitely thankful to be up here this morning, or this afternoon. I'm a pastor too. I'm used to preaching in the morning. Sure, indeed, want to thank you all for coming. Each of you here, your presence speaks volumes to Winston. And it shows your love and care, both family, church family and friends alike, co-workers, and I recognize a lot of people here, which I'm thankful for, and those that I don't recognize, you're most indeed welcome, and I know Winston does and is thankful that you're all here this afternoon. Just know that your support today and the past several days has been deeply appreciated. As the family and friends of Winston and Linda, we are gathered together today in the presence of God, both to remember Linda and celebrate her life, and also to find comfort from the Word of God. For those who are not familiar with me, my name is Peter, one of the pastors here. Pastor Dennis is also one of the pastors. We share the ministry here, and it's just an honor, I know, for both Dennis and I, to walk alongside you during this time of grieving. Winston, on behalf of Bethany Baptist Church, we extend our deepest sympathies and our prayers. Well, none of us can say that we know what you're going through, because we can't. All of us grieve differently and in different ways. Just want you to know that our hearts are broken with you, and we commit to walk with you as a church family and support you, dear brother. The psalmist said, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And in the book of Hebrews, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Each of us in this room are feeling a measure of pain and sorrow of the loss of Linda this afternoon. First of all, I just want to say that this is right. This is normal to feel this way, and even Jesus, when he found out a good friend of his had died, his name was Lazarus, the scriptures record that he stopped and he wept. Now, grieving is difficult and is different for each person, and I trust this afternoon, in even just a little way, we can turn our mourning into laughter, our tears of sorrow to tears of joy, because I know that's what Linda would have wanted. Linda was a woman of conviction and of hope, as we've heard so far this afternoon, that hope was in Christ, her Savior. And I trust that I will be able to communicate in even just a little small way. I want to communicate clearly this hope that that Linda had in Jesus. You know, a number of years ago now, I was in a maritime museum on the coast in New England. Mystic, Connecticut actually was the town where we went to. And this museum had incredible displays from back to colonial days and the tall ships and the beautiful sails and the figureheads, and I can go on and on. And in each room that I went and visited, there was one that really stuck out to me, and it was the anchor room. All the anchors of these old ships were on display. They were absolutely massive. Massive. And I stood in a room probably this size. Massive anchors on display. These things were strong. And I can just imagine that when it takes hold in the rock, there was nothing that would be able to break its grip. That is Jesus to Linda. It's the gospel to Linda. And I just know, actually, whenever I preached, even just a few weeks ago when I was talking to her, she goes, just preach the truth. Just preach the truth, she would tell me. Just preach that truth. And I just love that accent. I love that motivation from her. And I wanted to honor that from Linda for sure. So there are those that are here this morning that I just want for all of us to be reminded of that the truth of the anchor of the gospel in Linda's life, that she left behind a legacy that we all can be proud of. Now, for those of you who are in wrestling and have so many questions whenever we face mortality, those are good questions to have. Don't lose the moment. Don't lose the moment. This is a time that's precious and sincere. It's in the times when we view our mortality where it kind of grounds each and every one of us when we get to really evaluate what really matters in life. Don't lose the moment. I can just hear Linda right now. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known, fully known." Basically, what this is saying is that someday the truth of all the confusion and the questions of mortality will become known and will become real. Maybe that day is now for some of us today. I don't know that. Just a few Sundays ago, I sat down with Linda before the morning service and had a really nice visit with her right here in her pew. She's a good Baptist. She sat in that same pew every Sunday. I loved it. I could tell that she was tired. She was here. I can tell that she was hurting, but she was here. I can tell that she was struggling, she was here. Her presence, to me, spoke volumes. I've seen this before in so many dear friends that are determined to come to church even though they're weary, tired, struggling, in pain, in wheelchairs. You know, every excuse not to come, and I've seen dear people come and sit, sometimes even in the aisles, to hear the gospel. Literally on death's door, Linda was no exception. Like others before her, she valued being with her church family, even in times of struggle. She valued being under the teaching of the Word of God, even in times of hardship. She valued worshiping her Lord in church because of the anchor of Jesus in her life. Cannot say I knew Linda well. Wish I did. For a few days, a few mornings, I sat down with Winston and heard some incredible stories. And I know that he could keep on going for sure. Winston, my friend, you are a good storyteller. You are. In fact, I'm going to go off my notes for a moment. Winston, I just want to tell you that I admire you. And I respect you, and the way that you're journeying through this process in your season of life, you have mentored me, and I know others as well. I just want to thank you for that. The more I learned about what was important to Linda, I got more motivated. The more I learned about her legacy, I got more courage. And in a sense, I got told by Linda to share about her anchor. and her anchor was Jesus. As we come together to celebrate Linda's life and commit her to the Lord, we all know that this is a difficult time. Death is difficult, but let's not lose the moment. And I just want to share with you some words here in John chapter 14. This was an interesting time. So Jesus was with his closest friends, and Jesus knew that his time was drawing to a close on this earth. And he knew that his friends that were with him, once he shared with them what was about to take place, it would cause a lot of confusion, a lot of despair, a lot of emotions that probably many of us are even feeling right now. And Jesus chose these next few words, which are incredible to me, to comfort those who are hurting, to comfort those who are feeling confused, to comfort those who are wanting answers, to comfort those who just didn't know what to do next. Here is the words that Jesus chose to tell his friends. It's John 14, which Lane read just a little while ago. John 14, 1, it says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus was asking those who were there to trust him, to believe him. In spite of what loss that may come their way, Jesus is their anchor, and he says, trust me, believe in me. Don't let what I am telling you to get lost in the confusion. This is the anchor, and it's me, and I'm here. Trust him. And he says, believe in God, believe also in me. What I like about the word believe, there's no tricking here. There's no trying to coerce somebody into accepting a contract that they may not want. This is their choice to believe. Just like it is for us today to believe in Jesus. It's our choice. That's an anchor that we can trust. The fact remains that it's our choice to believe in God, believe also in me. It's up to us right now to say, do I really trust him? Do I believe him? This is what Jesus was telling his disciples as he was preparing them for his death. These are the words that are comforting to us to know this is actually really on our laps to decide, am I going to trust him or not in these times? This is the cool part. I know Linda did. I know Linda did. I know even just from the legacy that I'm hearing about this afternoon is, in fact, Jesus was her anchor. She chose to believe. Linda had a faith relationship with Christ, second to none. She heard and believed and that she needed Jesus in both the good times and in the struggling times, in the bad times. In fact, she mentioned to me during our last short conversation that we had here just a few weeks ago, I sat down with her and I asked that cliche question, so Linda, how you doing? Well, she said, Pastor, good, but bad. And I knew that. She said, bad because my health is so poor, but good because I know I'm in the hands of Jesus. She believed in Jesus and it anchored her throughout her suffering. Her belief in Christ sorted out all that confusion, gave reasons for the struggle, and she was anchored in the truth about Christ. Her belief in Christ gave her that quiet and humble confidence in her future with her Savior. You see, today, we've all been given the same opportunity of believing and trusting in Jesus. Trusting, yes, that he's in control. In control during the good times, in the bad, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. See, one of the anchors in her life was choosing to believe in Jesus to keep her and never to forsake her. The next thing that Jesus spoke in verse 2, he says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, why would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? See, Jesus is talking about a real place. This truth was not Linda's truth. This truth is the absolute truth. It's talking about a real place, a place of security, a place of peace, a place of rest. And Jesus is referring to, in this sense, talking about his Father's house. Now, If I was honest with you, I can't even begin to tell you that I even really understand the Father's house. What I can say for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who is their anchor, is that Jesus is speaking of the reality that there's something more beyond this life, that mortality causes us to take a look. Now, I'm not sure about your story, but I know in my story growing up, I know that going back to my home where my parents were, it was a place of, you know, moderate safety, security, where when I get through the door, life's problems seem to be a whole lot smaller. That's what it means to get into my Father's house. You know, when I grew up, I knew that going home was that place where I can rest and find comfort. It was safe. That's what Jesus is saying to us here today. He's saying that the Father's house, which he called heaven, is in fact a real place, a safe place, a comforting place where all of life difficulties will indeed vanish. In Revelation chapter 21, the author talks about heaven as being a place where there is no fear, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there's no crying, and yes, there's no death. What comfort to know that this is where Linda is right now. In her Father's house. I just know that Linda would want us not to lose this moment of reflection. She would want us to, and she would want me to preach the truth. I know that Linda would want us all to take this time and reflect. Don't lose this moment of personal reflection of our own personal future. Each of us will one day have to walk this path as Linda did. I don't think that is any surprise to any one of us. It's not a newsflash. For that, there is no doubt. But she would also want us to point to Jesus as her anchor and hopefully ours as we take that time. Just think about it. You know, talking about the Father's house. Now, I have traveled literally most places, many places around the world. And I have been left awestruck by the things that I've seen. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Places all over the world that I've personally witnessed and seen. And frankly, I think even in our own backyard here in Alberta is some of the most gorgeous locations in the entire planet. You know, and then I think about God created that. What is his house going to be like? Man, I leave Nordegg with wonder. I just can't even imagine what his house is going to be like. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. There where I am, you may be also. And you know that the way where I, and you know the way where I am going. Another anchor is that Jesus is going to be there. It's our choice. He's going to prepare a place, and here he's saying, I will be there also. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, to a Christian, you know, I was thinking about this last week, death will be the shortest thing we will ever experience, because absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, Winston, there was a conversation, I don't even know if you remember it, because I'm sure you've had so many, but just even a couple of days ago, you said, as you were sitting by Linda's side, and how she was facing death, how an example that was to you, and you said to Pastor Dennis and I don't fear death anymore. Death has lost its sting in the anchor of Christ. That is an amazing, and again, amazing testimony to me that I have heard, where Jesus is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In verse 5, there's his friends. One of them, his name is Thomas. And if you know anything about the Word of God, Thomas is one of these close friends of Jesus. He was known to be kind of a doubter and questioner and trying to figure things out, which is fair and fine, and I think it's good. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? See, Thomas wanted to be sure. He's in all this confusion, and he just needs these things to be spelled out to him. He's sitting there, and he's asking Jesus, okay, you tell me the way. I just want to know for sure. I've got all these questions. There's some confusing things in my mind as I listen to you, Lord, and I just don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the boat. I want to be in that Father's house with you. How do I not miss the way? And Jesus says, good question. Good question. So Jesus follows up with this helpless question, the confusion that is clearly there, the fear and the doubt and concern, and Jesus gives Thomas hope in what's coming next. He gives him the anchor that he can hold. He gives Thomas and the others who are like him that want that hope in this following answer and this hope that Linda had and this hope that is anchored in her life and soul can only be found in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, there's another anchor. It's only in Jesus and in Jesus alone that we can find that safe and security that we all want and desire when we face the confusion of mortality. That sure anchor that's illustrated in that room full of anchors that could not be broken. And I see that illustrated in the gospel. The gigantic anchor of Jesus in my life that can give me hope, security, rest, surety can only be found in Jesus and Jesus alone. The certain hope of eternity with the Lord in heaven we can all have. And the anchor that Linda had is to know that anyone else can have this anchor as well. It's not just her truth. It's a truth for each and every one of us today as well. The anchor is available for anyone through Jesus. In Jesus alone, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But God's word says that to receive this anchor that Linda had experienced and had modeled for each and every one of us as we journeyed with her over these past 5 years, and some of you more, she illustrated that anchor, that faith that she had in Jesus and in Jesus alone. The truth that God has sent his one and only Son to die on the cross on our behalf for you and I. Because indeed, we are all sinners, and we all need to be saved from Christ by Christ. In Christ alone, taking upon himself the punishment that each and you and I deserve, he took that on himself so that if we choose to believe in him, we can have that fresh start in life, holding on to that anchor of the gospel that Linda so vividly, clearly illustrated for each and every one of us today. This can only come through what we call surrender to him, asking him to forgive us. I know my heart. I know that I need Jesus. I know that I am so desperately sinful. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's one thing that I know is that we all have the opportunity to accept Christ. To accept that anchor that we all so desperately need. You see, knowing about Jesus in our head is sadly not enough. It is knowing him in your heart, experiencing his love, his forgiveness, his peace, his mercy, grace, trusting him to lead us each and every day, resting in the fact that when Jesus said, it is finished, we truly believe. We believe in his forgiveness that we all so desperately need. We trust him in his grace to save us. We need the anchor of Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Linda left a legacy of knowing and loving her Savior Jesus, her anchor. Her faith was definitely anchored in Christ and Christ alone. And I know, as I've said just even moments ago, don't lose this time of reflection. Don't lose it. In a sense, these times are a gift where we can take, because it may be a time where we choose to refocus our life on Christ and Christ alone, and trust him in his grace. Maybe as a result of Linda's legacy, she may cause us to refocus our life today. Linda's life points to these words of Jesus, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I just want to thank Linda and Winston for living this truth out. Thank you for this opportunity to walk with you even just this little bit. As a church family and friends, we will be thinking of you and praying for you as you go back home out east, and you know that. And we look forward to your return where we can continue to do life together. Pastor Dennis.
Just before I close in prayer, I invite all of you downstairs. There's lunch downstairs. You're welcome to come and enjoy that. Has been prepared for you. Let me close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we have been reminded of many things, of a life lived before us, who blessed us in many ways. Maybe each one different, but special. And our God, we realize that even though, according to your word, we believe that Linda is now far better off, we also know that she leaves her husband and children and grandchildren, whom she loved and cared for greatly. And so we do pray that you will continue to have your hand of blessing upon each one of them, especially during these next weeks and months of loss. Father, for each one of us, may we find answers to the questions in our lives, and might we be able to rejoice that we had the privilege of knowing Linda. Father, as we part, may we not lose this moment. And now the benediction from your word, Lord God. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. If you just give us a moment, we'll take the family out, and then we invite you to follow us and come down and join for lunch.